Isaiah 55, beginning with verse 1, we read, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. He that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Ho, everyone that thirsteth." We see right away that Isaiah speaks to a particular people here. It's not just everyone, it's everyone that thirsteth. And this thirst, it's not a natural thirst by any means. It's a spiritual thirst. Turn over to John chapter 4. Beginning with verse 7 of John chapter 4. "There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is this that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which is a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith unto thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given to thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence hast thou this living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us this well? And drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle. Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water, springing up into everlasting life." The command for those that are thirsty: come ye to the waters. Revelation 22:17. The Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. John 7:37. In that last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Now, who are these that are told to come? Back to our text, back to Isaiah 55. It says, He that hath no money, to him that is poor and needy, to him that the Lord has revealed that he's poor and needy. If you're poor and needy, you have nothing. You have nothing at all. You're no longer holding on to your works. You're no longer holding on to the law. The hymn writer said, nothing in my hands I bring. Simply to thy cross I'll cling. What is this thirsty man to do? This man that's poor and needy. He says, come ye, buy, eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. What's the sinner to do? He's to come and buy and eat without money, without price. How is that? How can he do that? Well, it's paid for. It's free. John mentioned a couple of weeks ago, he said, we love free stuff. We go running with our hand out for everything, but not salvation. Oh, we don't want free salvation. We want our works to pay for it. We want our deeds. We want our doing. But that's not where salvation is to be found. Mephibosheth, he sat at the king's table. He was brought. He was set there, and he ate as one of the king's sons. Joseph's brethren, you remember when their father sent them down there to buy corn. And they loaded up their sacks with money and they went down to Egypt to buy corn. When they got back, the money had been put back in their sacks. It's free. It's free. It's already been paid for. And listen, even we can't pay for it. We don't have the funds to pay for it. We don't have what it takes to pay for salvation. It's free. It's paid for by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 3:24, being justified freely, freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Back to verse 2 of our text. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me. Eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Why do you spend time and money for that which does not satisfy? We seek the things of this world which are not to be had. Why do we try to obtain a righteousness by the works of the law, which again cannot be attained that way? All that labor, it's vain. It's vain. There's no satisfaction to be enjoyed. There's no comfort. There's no solid food there. It's like the husk that pigs eat. Just like when remember the prodigal son? After he'd spent all he had, he sat down there and he ate the husk with those pigs. And he came to himself. He came to his senses. He was brought to his senses. Turn to Luke 15. Luke chapter 15. Verse 17. Beginning in verse 17. When he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. You know, he'd spent all that he had. He'd wasted it all away, and he had nothing. There he was working, but not satisfied. There's only one who can satisfy. Only one who can justify. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 36. Hey, turn to a few scriptures with me over in Psalm. Look with verse 7. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house. And thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. Abundantly satisfied. Abundantly. Look at just a few pages over it. Chapter 65, Psalm 65. Look at verse 4. Psalm 65, blessed is the man whom thou choosest, and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple, satisfied with the goodness of thy house. And just like the prodigal, just like that prodigal son, we need to be mindful. We're the hungry ones. He's the one with the bread. Our Father, He's the one with the bread. We're not to forget who and what we are. Poor and needy sinners. And don't forget where and who the bread comes from. It comes from our Father. Hearken diligently unto me. Eat that which is good. Let your soul delight itself in fatness. We're to feed on Christ and Him alone. Verse 3. Incline your ear. Come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. These are the words of the Father to His children. He says, incline your ear. Listen. Listen to me. We say that to our kids all the time, don't we? Would you just listen to me? That's good instruction for us, isn't it? We need to listen to Him. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And come unto me. Come unto me. Matthew 11:28. Come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. John 6:37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And to him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. We're to flee to Christ. Flee to Him. Not to religion. Not to the works of the law. Not to any other refuge. We're to listen and to come to Him. And listen, those who come to Christ, we read here, He said, your soul shall live. Your soul shall live eternally with Christ. Your soul shall live. And He says, I will make an everlasting covenant with you. It's a covenant of grace, even the sure mercies of David. Turn to 2 Samuel 23, verse 5. Although my house be not so with God, yet He hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. For this is all my salvation and all my desire, although He make it not to grow. The covenant. It's the covenant that speaks of Christ, our Redeemer. Anything else is labor that cannot satisfy. It will not satisfy. Now back to our text here in Isaiah. Look at verse 4. Behold, I've given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. I've given him a witness. A witness. Over in Revelation 1:5, we read, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, the prince of the king of the earth, and to him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. He's a witness. He is the faithful witness. I've given him for a witness. I've given him as a leader. The Lord Jesus Christ leads his people. Turn to Mark chapter 10. Mark 10. Look at verse 32 of Mark 10. And they were in the way going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus went before them. And they were amazed, and as they followed, they were afraid, and He took again the 12 and began to tell them the things that should happen unto them. He went before them. He led them. We read that He went before the people. And back in the Psalms, Psalm 23, that great shepherd of the sheep that leads His sheep, He leads us beside the still waters. He leads us in paths of righteousness. He leads His people. He's a witness. He's a leader. and then he's a commander. A commander is one who gives direction, who's in charge of things. Our God's sovereign. This speaks of his sovereignty. He's King of kings and he's Lord of lords. Back to our text. Verse 5, behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Behold, thou shalt call. Notice the certainty there. Thou shalt call. There's no wiggle room there, is there? Thou shalt call. Not should call, not might call. Thou shalt call. Thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not. Over in Romans chapter 9. Romans 9. Turn there with me. Romans 9 verse 6. He says, not as though the word of God had taken none effect. For they're not all Israel which are of Israel. He's going to save his people, Jew, Gentile, out of every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue. He's got a people. And he's going to save nations that knew thee not shall run to thee. When we learn of the Lord, if he's pleased to teach us of him and our miserable condition, there's no other refuge. We'll run to him. There's no other resting place. We'll say just like Peter did. Simon Peter answered over in John chapter 6, he said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. We'll run to him and to him alone. We'll flee to him just like that manslayer back in the Old Testament to the city of refuge, that place of safety. There's no other place. There's no other place to him. No other place to go. We run to him because of the Lord our God. That thy people shall be made willing in the day of thy power. We run to him as a result of his love, his mercy, and his grace towards sinners. But we cannot run to him apart from God. He must draw us. John 6:44, no man can come unto me except the Father which sent me draw him, and I'll raise him up in the last day. Read on, and for the Holy One of Israel, the Lord Jesus Christ, our surety, our Savior. He hath glorified thee. Turn to another scripture. Turn to John chapter 17. John 17, beginning with verse 1. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou hast given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Back to our text. Verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. What are we told? You seek the Lord. Seek him. Just like that woman with the issue of blood. Over in Luke 8. Turn there with me. Luke chapter 8. You know this account, but let's read it here together. Luke chapter 8, beginning verse 43. Begin with verse 43. And a woman, having an issue of blood, 12 years, she spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any. She had spent all she had for nothing. All for naught. But look, verse 44. She came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood was staunched. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitudes, they throng thee and press thee, and you say, who touched me? All these people around?" Jesus said, "Somebody had touched me, for I perceived that virtue was gone out of me." And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. And she declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." Seek the Lord, trembling, falling down before him. This woman, she sought the Lord, and he healed her. That leper over in Luke chapter 4 came to pass. I'll just read this. It came to pass when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus, fell on his face and besought him, saying, "Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." And he put forth his hand and he touched him, saying, "I will, be thou clean." And immediately that leprosy departed from him. Look with me at one more passage here. Matthew 15. I was looking at this last night on this topic of seeking the Lord. This woman here, she sought the Lord. Not for herself, but for her daughter. Look at it here. Matthew chapter 15. Look at verse 21. Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil." He answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, "Send her away, for she crieth after us." But he answered and said, "I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Then came she, worshipped him, saying, "Lord, help me." But he answered and said, "It's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs." And she said, "Truth." That's the truth. That's the truth. "I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy, Lord. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table." And Jesus answered and said unto her, "O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt." And her daughter was made whole that very hour. She sought the Lord. She sought the Lord for her daughter. Over in the Old Testament, over in Ezra chapter 8. I'll read this to you. You can turn there. Read this later. Ezra 8, verse 21. Ezra says, "I proclaimed a fast at the river Ahava, that we might afflict ourselves before our God to seek of him a right way for us." Well, we desire a right. We desire to know him. We desire to know a right way for us. But he also says a right way for us and a right way for our little ones and for all our substance. All that we'd seek him. That we'd seek him for ourselves. Seek to know him. I desire to know him. I desire to know him more. I desire my children. Don't we desire our little ones that they might know him? That they might know the Savior? Turn back to our text. we'll close here. He says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Seek him. Call upon him while he's near. And then verse 7. Let the wicked forsake his way. You know, there's a way that seems right unto man. We know the end of that, don't we? It says, seek his way. Not our way. Seek his way. And the unrighteous man, his thoughts. My thoughts are not your thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. The very first verse, ho, everyone that thirsteth. Everyone that thirsteth, come to the waters. Are you thirsty? Are you poor and needy? Turn from your way. Turn from your thoughts. Turn to the Lord. Turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. For we read here, he will have mercy. And he will abundantly pardon. Pray God bless his word.